This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone, welcome to edition 243 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast, straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived. Martin Brundle learned to ride with stabilisers, and George Russell shares a coffee with Alex Albon almost every weekend, I imagine. We are sat here for once, and it's been a while since we've been here, at Argent Towers in the centre of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio, as well as across all our podcast channels. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 Spanish Grand Prix. Maybe not actually a constant feature of the calendar. Coming up, Mercedes A-Class, Ferrari... only just managed to say that right, and Bollards to Rogro. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have Damon Hill Radical and blogger, Blogs on Wheels, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
And blogger and the man Hamilton fans love to hate. Is that actually still true? Callum Springle.
Good evening.
Is it?
I'd like to think so.
What a way to answer that question. And I'm hoping, although I've just realised we haven't teed it up, that we're going to also chat with Norfolk's next top F1 engineer, happens to be your brother, Callum Dan Springle.
Thanks for reminding me.
But we haven't made that phone call yet, and I think we're just going to do it and see if he's there at some point. Randomly, what do you reckon? How would your brother react to that, do you think, Dan? Callum, sorry, it's been a long few weeks.
Sorry, Callum. I'm used to it. I don't know. I don't call him out of the blue on a regular basis or ever. I text him occasionally and get a fairly quick response. So
we will see. That is exciting, isn't it? How exciting can we get? It's just about as exciting as the Grand Prix was, to be honest. Are we all well? How are we doing since the last podcast? For my own state of affairs, I've been basically under a rock for a month. I think I did a podcast in the middle of that, and I don't know how, but you know, the football is over and we're just starting to catch up. I can see light at the end of the tunnel, and the light is led by Formula One. That makes me happy, and it's sunny outside, it's a beautiful day. So all is well. Norwich are in the Premier League next year as well, for anyone who cares about football. If you are in the States or wherever and you do like soccer stroke football, you will be seeing Norwich City playing all of the big teams next year. That is the other most important element other than Formula One in Norfolk sport. I think I've pretty much catched that right. So there we go, that's my turn. Rich, how are you?
Not too bad. A bit tired. Still recovering from a hectic weekend for various reasons. But long story, I won't go into it.
But no, please do. give us like three bullet points quickly.
It's not a great story, to be honest.
Then make it quick.
But it was basically dad unconscious, dad in the ambulance, dad home now.
Dad, what was the last one?
Home now.
Oh, okay, good. Because I talked over that bit. I'm sorry, I didn't realise. Everything okay now?
Yeah, it's okay. He was just blood pressure tablets taking adverse effects and making his blood pressure go too low, basically. So we went unconscious.
Oh, bless you.
He ended up in overnight. So we were up all night driving to and from the hospital. And then, yeah, he's home now. So it's just tired times, not sleeping through nights,
yeah,
basically.
Cool. Oh, well, we're glad to have you. Thank you so much for coming, Rich. That's really appreciated. Did you get to watch the race and it make you feel a little bit better? And your dad's a big Formula One fan, isn't he?
He is, yeah. This is how kind of eager we were to watch it. We had a call from my dad at about midday on Sunday saying, I can come home. So we rushed to the hospital, thinking, right, we've got 2 hours before race starts. We got there and we had to wait around because I had to give them some medicines and get discharge papers and everything. So we got them, and just as we left, it was 2:15. So we just missed hearing the start on the radio. But I quickly did a search on my phone and was like, okay, Sky are showing a full race rerun at 6 p.m. So we went home, rested up for a couple of hours, woke up, and we had a late Sunday dinner and managed to kind of follow the race in the evening.
Oh, bless you. Well, that sounds like a happy ending at least. So and did your dad enjoy the race? Did you enjoy the race?
Yeah, he enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was good. You know, from a British motorsport fan's point of view, it was, you know, another British winner. So I mean, it was good, but I mean, to be honest, it was almost a bit expected.
It's not like we're getting blasé about victories. Well, Rich, thanks for making the effort. It does mean a lot. Callum, how are you? How was your weekend? Hopefully not as dramatic, if I'm brutally honest.
Well, I did spend Saturday night third wheeling one of my high school friends and his girlfriend. So that was fun.
That sounds lovely. That was good fun? It's...
Not really.
No.
Well, he did end up...
Oh, God.
Well, because we went to the waterfront...
Norwich indie music bar,
yeah,
club,
not my dig.
Played a couple of gigs there. It's a great place. Carry on.
So yeah, we were going home and decided in our inebriation to get a taxi from Rose Lane. Not a good place to go home from at 2 a.m. So some guy ended up coming up to my friend and said, "Oh, I'll fight you for a fiver." Didn't get in a fight though.
Okay, so. Good.
But it was weird.
Oh, there you go. It's only in Norwich? Probably not. Well, only in Norwich.
Only on Rose Lane / Prince of Wales.
Well, unless you made it home safely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those occasions, it's just like, mate, if you're really that desperate, I'll give you a fiver. But, I mean, come on. Just calm down a bit.
You should have said, well, tell you what, I'll take a fiver and you can come and have a go on my simulator. You know, 1,300 quid's worth of gear. I've got. They probably nicked it.
Probably, but you still wouldn't have beaten me.
Yeah, exactly. We're all planning to go on now, Callum Simulator, by the way. It's not a euphemism. We're going to go and have a race. So that'll be lots of fun. I don't know when. We're just going to invite ourselves around. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be far too good for me. And actually, Rich, we went to the Mercedes pop-up shop, didn't we? We did a video. We haven't managed to put it up. And we went on their simulator, which was loads of fun.
Yeah, we did. It was great, you know, sitting in an actual F1 car. Which is unbelievably difficult to get in and out, by the way.
We're both quite tall, aren't we? I mean, neither of us are particularly heavily built, but, no, you know, we still struggled.
I think it's the length that is the thing, because you've got to bend your legs under the steering wheel, and then you've got right. There's a technique to it, and I don't have it.
You did actually drive in the thing. You were much better than me. I was all over the place. The problem is that it was obviously an empty car, effectively, isn't it? So it's probably easier to get in and out of than an actual proper one. But there we go. So we'll put the video up on the YouTube channel and share it around at some point. Thanks so much to Mercedes and their pop-up shop for letting us just sit there and race for an hour or so, which is very nice of them. And anyone can do it for free if it is free. So I think people were going to watch the Spanish Grand Prix at the weekend, so I'm sure they all enjoyed themselves. Speaking about the Spanish Grand Prix, we should probably talk about the Spanish Grand Prix, shouldn't we? Because we're 7 minutes, eight minutes in, we haven't actually talked about the racing yet. But of course, it was round five of the 2019 F1 World Championship, and Lewis Hamilton managed to pull off another win. I guess we say that we're getting rather blasé about it, but the key weren't about this, I think, was that Valtteri Bottas was so good in qualifying. You know, was he 6 tenths ahead? Obviously question marks over the state of the cars and whether there was an issue and who had the bigger issue and blah blah blah, but really impressive qualifying performance. Yet there's Lewis, turns it round at the start and then just wins the race. And I kind of sat there thinking, well, surely Valtteri's going to just carry this on, because it would be epic for him in terms of a real championship story. But Lewis just did it again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, one of those kind of... It's got the pattern so far anyway to be one of those where it's yo-yoing between the two. I mean, there's talk, you know, Ferrari obviously want to be up there and be competing. They've got a bit of work to do. And Red Bull, you know, there was even talks of them at the start of the season fighting for wins and things. But, I mean, they're more, you know, getting third place at the minute. They're really kind of fighting Ferraris quite well. But yeah, the Mercedes just, I mean, like you said with Bottas in qualifying, he seemed on rails almost, the way he just drove that lap. But then, yeah, at the race start, I mean, as soon as they basically started, you could see Hamilton just got a bit of a jump and he was ahead. So
And that was that, really. Lewis is 7 points clear of Valtteri, and then the pair of them are a long way ahead of Max Verstappen, who's on 66 in third. So it's funny, isn't it? They're yo-yoing, as Rich says, but this Lewis has got so much about him, and at this point he tends to start slowly, and he hasn't done that this year.
Has he not?
Started slowly.
Yeah.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? I mean, his slow start this season has been pretty quick.
Well, I guess so, but I don't know. I feel like he's been fairly average a lot of the time, and I did see one tweet a little while ago that said Lewis Hamilton doesn't make mistakes, and it's like, well, you can trace back through most of the weekends this year, at crucial moments he has made mistakes, looking at, you know, his first run in Q3 being the example that put him really on the back foot. So I don't think it's necessarily true that he's started well. I'm not saying he started badly, but I think it's more of a case of Bottas has upped his game, and he's just not the driver that he seems when he's not under pressure.
Does this not worry you that when Lewis does click, which, let's be honest, he generally does, this is going to be over quite quickly?
Probably will be, to be honest. It's not like Bottas is a world-class driver. And if Sunday did show anything, it's that while he may be driving more or less at his peak, he still needs Hamilton to be making mistakes to really have a good chance of winning anything.
Quick look at the Constructors' Championship standings. You'll like this. It appears that Mercedes have already almost got double the points Ferrari have got, and they've almost got three times the points of Red Bull. Not quite, but close enough. And then McLaren are fourth. Almost 10 times the points McLaren's have got. Barcelona was the place where, of course, Ferrari were supposed to have shown in pre-season testing that they're really ahead here. They're really ahead. And they're not, are they? I mean, they've brought a new engine this weekend, and it's not really made any difference, has it? I don't know when exactly they used it and how they used it, but ultimately, Mercedes are miles ahead, aren't they?
That's what it looks like. It's strange, because we had, you know, Bahrain Grand Prix was the second race of the season, and, you know, complete turnaround. It was Ferrari were looking ahead, they were looking almost untouchable at that race weekend, and then obviously several problems in the race that they had. And Mercedes, you could say, were lucky to win. But then you look at it now, and Ferrari since then, whether they've changed something in the car for reliability purposes, or whether it's just the way, you know, the nature of circuits, I don't know, but it's that their car hasn't looked as good as it did basically at the start of the season. I mean, if their car can go downhill that quickly, I'm sure they can turn it around just as quick, because it is a long season. We well know, you know, we're not even quite a quarter of the way through yet. Well, in a way, because there's 21 races, so I suppose now it's the Tuesday, we probably are. So, but you know, there's still plenty of time to go, and they need to turn it around and fast.
How sure are you that Ferrari can turn it around just as quickly as they've lost it? Because I'm not. I love listening to Rich, but I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I'm going to drop a bombshell. They never had it in the first place.
Go on, Callum, why not?
Well, there's something completely, well, I guess endemic in the car's design that means that it's just not right. Because from what I'm told, their aero balance should be around 45 on the front and 55 on the rear, where in reality it's more like 40-60, which in Formula One terms is huge. And the one that you would point to most would probably be their front wing design, being as different as it is from Mercedes and Red Bull, because they've got the one that essentially goes for more of an outwash or a maximum outwash effect, whereas Mercedes and Red Bull is designed for peak downforce. And I think Alfa and Ferrari in particular, which have pretty much the same front wing design, are struggling for front downforce. So when you go to tracks like Barcelona, for example, Mercedes could put on peak downforce, which you could see really helped them in the final sector, because they could also put on more rear downforce because the balance was right. So you have a greater window of setup to get it right and get it optimized for the track. So it's just the case that, well, you can say what you want about Ferrari having new engines. It's not that that's the problem, because it's not. They're faster in the straights, and they're fastest in the first sector pretty much all through the weekend. It was just that when you get to the really twisty stuff where they needed the peak downforce, which you could see they didn't have because they had to take off rear wing angle to actually get the balance right. So then that makes them a bit quicker in the first sector, but then they don't have the peak downforce when they need it, so that's where they're losing out.
Only some of those words made sense to me. Some of them didn't quite, but that's fine. Callum, thank you for saying them, and I'll just go away and Google them after we've done the recording. So why didn't that show up in testing then before pre-season? Did they have a different front wing? Why were they so quick? Or were they not that quick in pre-season?
Well, originally Mercedes brought the car that they had in November for the first test. So immediately they're a week behind on the second car in terms of optimising it. So they're essentially spending that week doing, I guess, kind of the first week's job, which is to familiarise yourself with the car. I guess the upside of that is that you've got more development time. I don't really know if that makes any difference because I'm not an engineer and I don't work in Formula One, but that's probably just my theory. But then again, you look through the previous years, Mercedes have not run to 100%. They've not run on the softest tyres, and they've probably most likely ran with more fuel for the most part, and also probably with lower engine modes than everyone else. I mean, you look at 2016, they were, I think, second in the test to Ferrari in terms of peak lap times, and then you get to the end of the season and they're not even in the same league, and it's just 2016 on repeat.
Those front wings is quite an interesting point as well, because you look at them and you can, you know, in Formula One, there's not very often you get a big visual difference. But when you look at the Mercedes wing and the Ferrari wing, it really is different. You know, the easiest way I can explain it is Ferrari is that when you look at the outside edge, it's lower, whereas the inside edge is higher. And that's obviously, you know, the, Callum was saying about the outwashing effect on there. Whereas the Mercedes ones, it's almost higher on the outside and lower on the inside. So it's crazy to see, you know, these big differences between the two top wings. They've obviously gone down very different paths, and there's obviously, you can see the effects that it's taking.
Which is what we want. That's what a proper formula should be, isn't it? Different cars, different ways of doing things. The only problem is it means that someone's got it wrong. And that's just part of the course. Just a quick note, there is, of course, in-season test going on at Barcelona at the moment. The first day was completed today because today is Tuesday. Valtteri Bottas finished quickest of the timing, so there you go, moral victory. I don't think he gets championship point for that one. So we're not going to really bother reflecting on that too much because it's testing. Who gives a
Ferrari when they begin?
Too true. Okay, so there are loads of ways to get in touch with us, of course, here at the NRF1 podcast, but the best place to start is patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll find all our podcasts, our bonus podcasts too, and you can join the community. Thanks all for your support. I hope you're enjoying what we're doing all over the place. Appreciate that at the moment we're probably like Mercedes in testing and we're on about, you know, our lowest engine mode, and hopefully, I'd say this a lot, I know, but we always have big plans and we always have big hopes for what we can do. So thanks for your support. Stick with us and we will do our best from here on in too. You can get us, of course, on most social media channels. The handle generally is @thenrf1. We're on YouTube too. And send us emails. We like those. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, the website, nrf1.uk. And we do have a WhatsApp service of sorts. If you want to get in touch with us, you can submit your pictures, videos, audio clips. That's the key one, really. F1 video reviews, whatever you want. And also, we'll probably start sending stuff the other way if you would like it. Just send a message to 00447 124869 58. Okay, let's fire up those NRF1 pit stops. So normally this season now it is a one-stop pod. Might make it two because we have just spoken quite a lot about Ferrari. So we'll just stop briefly at the Ferrari garage because away from the actual state of the car, in terms of the drivers, there was a lot of flip-flopping and a lot of waiting and a lot of time wasted between what they were going to do with Charles Leclerc or Charles Lee Clark and Sebastian Vettel. So what happened, Callum? Did they botch it? Did they get it right? I mean, it feels like there's a few times this season where they've taken too long to do something and then they've kind of missed their window.
I guess when you have two diametrically opposed strategies as they did, you just get on with it. You know, if you're going to move one car past the other, then you just do it. I seem to remember at one point their pace wasn't too different. I think it was probably in the first stint when they were on the same tyres. And I think it was when Leclerc was coming up behind Vettel. And in that case, you can kind of make the argument that in China it just didn't work because they moved Leclerc out of the way and Vettel didn't pull away at all. The only difference really in this case is that Vettel's tyres were f***ed. He f***ed his tyres and ended up dropping back by a few, well, quite a long way actually. But you can't pin any of their result really on strategy, whether you think it's bungling or not, because they just don't have the car and that's the end of it. That's pretty much the be all and end all.
Very quick one. Who's made more mistakes so far this season, Sebastian Vettel or Lewis Hamilton?
Hamilton? That's not even a question, is it? Hamilton's made smaller mistakes that have probably cost him at certain moments. So late on in the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, for example, I think he went over the curbs at the last corner and with about two or three laps left, when it looked like he was probably going to go and win it. But then you can probably point the finger at Vettel at making an absolutely spectacular f*** up in Bahrain, for example, where, well, when he spun racing against Hamilton, you think, well, you have a faster car at this circuit. If you're a smart driver, you're just getting back later on. Or failing that, bring it home right behind him. Get the points. But Vettel's just been distinctly average for most of this year, whereas Hamilton's been average for parts, made small mistakes when he's not been, but is at least still getting the results, albeit probably mostly down to the car.
There you go. I tried, everyone. What can I say?
I'm saying Vettel, by the way.
Yeah. I was just wondering if that was actually going to come out. What do you reckon, Rich?
It's tricky. I mean, trying to decide who's made the biggest, more mistakes. Like Callum says, probably Vettel's made ones at more crucial moments, whereas Hamilton, it's just these kind of odd little ones. But I mean, it's end of the day. Show me an F1 driver who doesn't make a mistake.
Or Lewis Hamilton, apparently.
And go on, Callum.
You know, it's one of those things. Every driver at some point makes a mistake, but
actually, I'll tell you who hasn't been making them recently: Max Verstappen.
Well, let's hold that thought. Maybe we should talk about him in a bit, or in our bonus Patreon podcast. Did you think, in terms of the strategies, that the Ferrari got it? Well, I guess it is hard. It's just like you say, if they've got different strategies, then just get it done. It feels like there's a slight battle going on in there, and no one's going to address it. But it does feel like that is going on inside Ferrari.
Yeah, it's one of those when I think of Ferrari strategy, I just sigh because it's you know, they're like, okay, give it three laps. You know, see how it is. If you don't go fast, then we'll let them through. It's like, well, in those three laps, you're letting the guys ahead of you get away. Whereas, you know, at that stage, you might be able to challenge and close off a bit more. So, I mean, you know, like I said, Vettel's tyres, he flat spotted them massively at turn one. So, you know, he was struggling with the vibrations from them straight away. So it's just kind of makes sense saying, strategy reasons, we're going to let Charlie go. And by the way, Martin Brundle, I noticed in the commentary, has also started to call him Charlie. So he's also...
Hang on, so is that Charlie Clare or Charlie Clark or Charlie Leclerc? Charlie Leclerc? What are we calling him?
Charles. Yeah.
But is it his nickname Charlie? Is it Charlie Clare or Charlie Leclerc? I need an answer. This is ridiculous.
Charlie Leclerc?
There's too many
Leclerc. The nickname, then you'd say Charlie Leclerc.
Charlie Leclerc. Charlie Leclerc. Anyway, I'm still recovering from Fernando Norris the other week, which is still one of my favourite. There was nothing wrong about it. It was perfect. Haas was the other team you wanted to stop off at, wasn't it, Rich? Shall we have a quick chat about Haas? Because their drivers had fun.
Yeah, they did. The end of the race, I don't know if anyone's... And I saw on the Formula One YouTube, like the best of team radio. But I mean, the Haas drivers at the end of the Grand Prix were giving us a bit of excitement, which isn't often said with Spain, to be fair.
They were very quick all weekend, actually. So, you know, let's hope their car stays quick.
They were looking very good. And I mean, they were fighting each other at the end of the race. So I think it was seventh and eighth position. And I mean, side by side and kind of pushing each other wide through turn one, two. You know, bit of a fight, and of course Grosjean running wide. But I mean, I heard the team radio, which was broadcast on YouTube, and Günther Steiner was on there, and he was quite angry by the sounds of it. He wasn't angry on the radio, but he was, you know, saying to Magnussen, he's like, come and see me straight away, please, no one else, as soon as you get in.
Did he have a right to be angry?
I think it was just a bit like, you can overtake your teammate can try and overtake you, but you can't be, you know, bumping wheels and forcing each other off the track, because for his point of view, as any team boss, you're looking at, you know, the best possible opportunity to score as many points for the team. Whereas them two kind of really fighting each other cost them, you know, or cost Grosjean as well a couple of places. So
he didn't tell him to suck his balls. I mean, you know, in truth, I thought he was quite well behaved. But there we go. How did you see the Haas? I mean, we love K-Mag, because I quite like that he would just shove anyone off the track, and he gave a nice old gesture, didn't he, a few times. And you know, it was quite comedic seeing Romain Grosjean drive around the same bollard three times. It's basically, he had his own track, didn't he, at one point.
I don't have anything against Magnussen personally, but he does drive like a most of the time. I don't think there was anything untoward about it, to be honest. Not from what I can remember seeing, anyway. And to be honest, I'm glad it went the way that it did, and I hope it continues to, because when you get something like Perez and Ocon at Force India and it ends up being sanitised, you're dulling down what is already quite a boring spectacle at the minute, to be honest.
Damning.
I think the team radio that we heard, there was a lot more that we didn't. I think because he was, yeah, Günther Steiner was telling Grosjean to remain calm and be calm and everything when he gets in. So you think you must have been shouting a bit there. So I'm sure we'll find more when Netflix release their this, you know, the episode on their series for next year, whenever they do it.
Are they doing the series again?
Mm-hmm. Apparently so, yeah. And there's talks that Mercedes and Ferrari could also be involved.
Which so they should be, yeah.
Would be awesome, so.
Yeah, indeed. I haven't seen the first season yet, so it's on my list of things to do this summer.
It will change your opinion of Günther Steiner forever.
Cannot wait. So quick plug, if you listen to our Patreon podcast, which will be EP243, which will either be available once you finish listening to this podcast or in the very near future after it, you'll be able to catch Norfolk Notebook, where we'll of course touch on our Norfolk interests and how they've been doing in the Formula One world. But for now, let's move on to our Of the Weekends. As always, we start with Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Who would you like? Who'd like to be nominated? Callum.
I'm going to go with Max Verstappen.
Good man. I was hoping you'd say that. Why?
Because he's got a slightly underperforming car that he's generally out driving without making any mistakes of note. Plus, he also got in front of Ferrari, which over a lap are probably still a fair bit quicker, and I think got quite close to Vettel. So there was talk that Honda do have party modes, but they're probably nothing like what Ferrari have, let's be honest. So if they actually can get that sorted out, and if Red Bull can find a bit more downforce, Ferrari probably don't have much of a hope for podium.
And that's the point. You know, Max prevented Ferrari being on the podium around Barcelona. Max was 7.679 seconds behind Lewis, so that's reasonably tight, isn't it? Admittedly, we had a safety car, of course, but still. I mean, to be honest, they're doing better than I thought they would do, Red Bull. So, fair play to Max. You know, he's actually keeping it together as well, isn't he? He's saving all his mini tantrums for free practice, it seems, when people keep getting in his way.
Yeah, he's matured this season a lot with driving, and he's just nailing the results. You know, he's making Gasly look quite poor, to be fair. But the guy I'd also like to give a shout to is the other Honda powered team, and Kvyat. I thought he had quite a good race, pulled off some good overtakes, and he seems to be kind of the old Kvyat that we had from probably 3-4 years ago rather than 2 years ago.
The torpedo for Verstappen.
Yeah. Max on the brain. I think the thing with Dan Hill is you can see why he's where he is on the basis of races like this weekend. And then, and we say that that was like when he was in good form a few years ago, which it was. But the last two races, he's been all over the place and driving into people. And I suppose it's so erratic that it's hard to keep track of. A little word for Pierre Gasly, finished sixth, which I think is pretty good. Backed up Max pretty well there, didn't he? So fair play. He's just looking like he might slightly be settling into the seat, whereas at the start of the season, it looked like the car was literally too big for him.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for your support.
I agree.
Thanks for thanks for listening. I don't even know if you were listening, but you agreed, so that's all right. How about Team Lotus, team of the weekend? Are we going to look beyond Mercedes?
I mean, you can't really.
Excellent.
Let's be honest.
No.
I think the only one I'd say is possibly McLaren. Apart from the obvious, is McLaren. Sainz got a good result, pulled it out of the bag. And
got a safety car.
Yeah. But it's, you know, they made the race exciting by getting us a safety car, and they got a good result when I think they were kind of saying they didn't have much pace this weekend. So
fair news indeed. How about our Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, who royally screwed it all up?
See, now I defended this guy when he first came into the sport, but now I've got a bit fed up with him. I'm going to say Mr. Walking Weapon.
Is it Daddy? Daddy, did he get it all wrong, Daddy?
Because
that's literally all I do. That's my only impression. It's terrible. Carry on.
That's brilliant. We're going to record that and have that as like its own segment.
I want that as my ringtone.
But it's just the last few races has frustrated me because he did everything last year to get himself out of Williams. And he went to this team, which he obviously thought was going to be competing better. And he just seems bored. He seems like he's...
Spoiled, almost.
I remember in Baku, he had a bit of a spin where he tried to turn out of it and hit the wall. And he goes, oh, I don't know what happened. And then this week, he kind of had a crash. He goes, oh, I'm out. And the guy who's on the other end of the team radio, he just seems so just like, hey, yep.
I think sitting there thinking... We had a great team last year. What the f*** is this bull?
And it was... It's just... Yeah, he's just... I mean, we saw... Last 2 years ago in Baku, he got a good result and he showed how good he could be. And he kind of showed his likeable side where he seemed quite happy. And now he's just... Like I said, he's just bored.
Well, look, I mean, you don't want to hammer the guy. He's still very young. But I struggle to see, in terms of psychology, how he's hungry. How he's hungry to really achieve anything in this sport, because it's all there for him. His dad now owns the team. Where is the hunger? Where is the real desire? Because at this level, anyone can drive. These guys can all drive a car really fast. You're basically talking about the extra percent, extra 0.1% maybe, coming from your brain, from your mindset, and from your literal drive to be a success, to make the most out of everything you have got. And if you're telling me that Lance Stroll genuinely has that over the other 19 drivers on the grid, I would be amazed.
Well, he doesn't really. Not outwardly, anyway. And I think he's all right. He's generally been, considering his reputation, fairly close to Perez for a lot of the season. It's just that he's not really helped himself with stuffing in the wall half the time.
I mean, he got the front in and the back in, didn't he, I think, this weekend? I don't know, off the top of my head.
Pretty much. I mean, basically did a Hartley.
I miss Brendan. I miss knowing he was leaving a month before he was leaving.
There's still a chance
he might come back. There's still a chance. I reckon he's still walking around going, I might come back.
Well, he's
going
to be with Toyota next year.
Is he?
In WEC. So.
WEC indeed. Any other nominations for Pastor of the weekend?
The other thing, just to add to Stroll, is with, you know, Norris tried to go around the outside of him. And okay, you can say Norris probably should have backed out of it. He wasn't likely to get through there. But to really shut the door and, you know, for Stroll to really shut the door and just continue the corner like, oh, it's fine. Mm. It's like, Norris was halfway alongside him.
Like, you earn the right to space if you have that much.
Yeah, you've got to leave a little bit.
Well, at least leave him enough room so that you both don't, so no one goes out. I mean, you can do that.
It's a racing incident, but it's like one of those that, you know, Verstappen at Brazil last season, it was one of those that, if you're a smart driver, you'd probably know not to really get involved with as much as he did. And actually, in it's like he's not bothered, because in his interviews, it's like he's trying to give as short an answer as possible to get it done in as short a time as possible. And he doesn't even do it in a likeable way like Raikkonen does. He just doesn't look like he gives a
Maybe that's what he's going for. He's going for the Raikkonen style, and he's just kind of hasn't actually got the demeanour about him to pull it off.
But difference is, he does have a happy side. Raikkonen is just grumpy and can't wait to leave and get on his yacht and get pissed.
He's family man now. And also, a lot of fun away from people asking him questions. So, there we go.
He's got a snowmobile, so.
Yeah, that's it. Which you have to be fun if you've got a snowmobile. Any more pastas? I think we're done, aren't we?
Yeah, I can't single out anyone else to slag off.
Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. I really did like the start, because that was the bit where stuff happened. I fully appreciated Romain Grosjean continually going around the bollard. That was also good. Any other suggestions, though?
Yeah, it was quite a good few bits of racing. When the safety car came out, it was kind of closed up. There's a few things. I think Kvyat's overtake round the outside of, was it Perez? I've forgotten.
Who? Raikkonen.
Was it Raikkonen? Yes, sorry. I'm as bad as a commentator.
Sorry, I don't know
about that. But you're looking at the timing screens, and I think it was about 14th, 15th place or something like that. And the commentator said, oh, Alex Albon, oh, brilliant overtake here. Albon does brilliantly. What an overtake from Albon. And they said Albon's name about 9 times.
And then referred to him as like a superstar or something.
Yeah, and then it came up on the screen, it said Kvyat and Raikkonen. And then I was just sat at home, it's like, it's Kvyat. And I carried on talking about how great of an overtake it was in 10, how good Albon's been. And then suddenly I go, oh, sorry, it was Kvyat. And they pretty much just left it there. And it was like, you probably should have...
Just realise to sort it out quickly.
Could we class that as an accidental partridge?
Why not? Norfolk's own son. Okay, let's rate the race, shall we? I don't know where we are, because there is a bit of catching up to do. But in terms of Spain, last year it got a 5.3. We didn't rate it the year before. Baku was quite low. And Australia got a 6. So they're the benchmarks I've got written down here. Rich?
See, I was going to say, I think a 6, 6.5 maybe. It was...
Okay, which?
let's go for 6. We'll keep it easy.
Split it down the middle. 6.25.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going for that.
What are you going for?
4.
4?
Yeah. I was going to say 6.6. But I'll maybe explain why I think that in the Patreon podcast. So 6.6, 4.
Do we need a calculator?
No, I'm not going to work it out. And 6.25?
I'm just going to stick with 6.
Just 6, that's fine. Well, that's pretty low, isn't it? So there we are. We all love the Barcelona, the action at the Circuit de Catalunya.
Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya.
Thanks, Carl. I'm glad you're here. So finally, who will be wearing the biggest smile as they take their private jet back from Barcelona?
Daniel Ricciardo?
Not this season.
Probably Verstappen.
I think that's a nice way to end that little bit. So there'll be much more chat about the 2019 Spanish Grand Prix to come, alongside all the major talking points away from the track, and there's been quite a few. Just check out patreon.com/nrf1 right after this podcast, or if not, keep checking back and EP243 will turn up. If you fancy joining our Patreon community, please do. All the information is at the same address. And if you want to make sure you get all of our podcast, our main Grand Prix review podcasts, you can get those by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you should find the links there. We're also on Spotify, Radio Public, lots of other places. If you can't find them, let us know. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the email address. And if you're listening to us via iTunes, please rate and review us. That's nice. Whatever you say. nrf1.uk/ is on iTunes, or you can, I think, rate it on the podcast app. Give it a go.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I had to give you some beers.
Okay, just briefly, because time is pressing and we'll touch more on it in the Patreon podcast, but it is Monaco next. Ped was so close to being on the podcast this week, but he's bailed, so I'll say it. Time for the gimmick, obviously. That is Monte Carlo, a race I love. I don't care what you say about it. It's steeped in Formula One history. The fact that they take cars and race them around this place is nuts. Formula E were there the weekend just gone, and someone pulled off a ridiculous overtake at Tabac. So I'll be expecting the Formula One cars to be delivering that sort of action around Monaco. Shouldn't be too much to ask for.
It's easy when your cars are slow.
Yeah. And electric.
I was watching one of the onboard footage pieces from Formula E, and I was like, oh, so is this just like a warm-up lap? But then, that was flat out. It's like, when you go through the swimming pool section in a Formula One car and you see the speed, they throw the car in and out of there. And then the Formula E car, I was like, oh, it's not quite the same. But they were going on, I saw the car, not to, there we go, but they were going on about the coverage. Oh, the majestic circuit that many Formula One legends raced around. And they were talking about being the same circuit. I was like, no, it's half of the same circuit. Yeah. You miss half of it out.
I don't think they can get up the hill. Isn't that half the issue? I can't remember now, but I think there's an issue that they can't get up. I can't remember.
You don't see many hills in Formula E.
No, that's probably best. And there are electric car jokes here. But I love Formula E, and I'm still tempted to set up the NRFE podcast, so I don't want to...
I mean, Massa got a podium this weekend, so...
Well, that's awesome. Credit to him. Well, credit to him indeed. Yeah, now thinking about it, the overtake at Tabac was hardly like full throttle through the corner. So there we go. But anyway, Formula One, how do you guys feel about Monaco going into it this season? Are we looking forward to it? I mean, we know what we get from it, I suppose. But
I actually am looking forward to it.
Come on, that's it.
I am a Formula One fan and I look forward to every Formula One race. And even if it's dull, I will watch it.
Yes!
And defend it.
Rich.
Because it's the sport.
It's going to be a few of those.
It's a sport we all love, and even if we don't enjoy the race, we love to slag the sport, you know, love to take the piss out of the race and how poor it was. So at the end of the day, we have something to talk about. But no, the Monaco Grand Prix, it's one of those, okay, you don't always get great overtakes, and it's not, you know, usually you don't have a classic race there. But when you look through the years, there's been some defining moments for drivers especially, and... just seeing, you know, the cars go the speed they do with how narrow it is, and the fact every race, you know, they come round, is it just coming up into Casino Square? I think they have to swerve because there's a bump on the road and everything, and it's just like that. There's something about that I just think is awesome, that they, you know, they especially avoid this big bump.
Let's hope all the drain covers are welded down. Mm-hmm. Unlike they managed in Baku. Callum, do you look forward to all this?
No more than any other race. Because Monaco just is what it is. It's just kind of like a blown-up version of Barcelona, I guess. It's generally not a good race. Occasionally is, but generally relies on there being quite high degradation on the tyres, which you don't get anymore,
funnily enough,
because everyone complained because the racing was good.
Well, I don't think that was exactly why they complained, but that was actually the net result, that it wasn't anymore. There we go. Okay, well, let's get a prediction from you both, shall we? And then we're going to try and put a call in on Dan and see if he's awake or alive. Let's hope he's both of those things. Rich, I'm going to throw in a prediction first. My prediction is going to be, I'm trying to think of a prediction that will sum up what is going to be a really boring race. So I guess Pol will win.
Well, I guess if you have a shot of during the race of people on their yachts, then it's a boring race.
True, but we'll get those anyway. That's two. That's like an open goal. They're not going to miss that opportunity. So there you go. Pol will win the race. Yeah. Rich?
Just looking at my predictions, by the way, I haven't got a single one right this year until Spain, when I got two out of three in Spain.
It was so dull, you got your predictions right.
So... the first one I'm going to say is there will be at least two safety car or virtual safety car periods.
Wow. Let's hope so. That will be the antithesis of what I've suggested. Callum?
I think somebody will have a roulette table motif on their helmet.
You can look out for that one. Why not? Why wouldn't that happen?
Pretty sure it happens most years.
I'm sure it will. I tell you what, let's try and get a prediction, shall we, from Mr. Springle.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Dan Springle. This is Michael Bailey off of the NRF1 podcast. You are live on the podcast. Please do not swear.
I shall try not to.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Fine, thanks. For those listening, Dan is now working at Williams Advanced Engineering as an engineer, and I think they've basically got you sorting out all their F1 problems too, haven't they?
The short answer is no.
Oh.
That would be nice. That would be nice, but no, I'm not. I'm currently very much focused on the advanced engineering projects.
Well done.
So there's lots of interesting things going on over in Williams.
That's exciting.
Yeah. it's been a while, so I'm a bit. I feel like I'm a bit rusty.
That's okay, my man. We'll warm you up. You're in the first podcast, and then we're going to come back and ring you up in a bit. But we tried this as an experiment, just to ring you completely out of the blue, because Callum says he never does it, and didn't even know whether you'd pick up or how you'd react.
Well, no, he's not wrong. But occasionally I do get a random call off mum or dad.
Oh, that's the spirit.
It usually helps that I'm at home and I've got no one else to worry about listening in on the conversation.
Yeah, I thought you were going to play the loneliness card.
Oh, this is the point. Have you been back to Shea Springle since Callum got his £1,300 simulator kit?
Yes, I have. That is not weekend just gone, but weekend before.
How was it?
It's very fancy, and I wouldn't expect anything less.
Did you beat him?
I don't think I actually had a go on it.
Oh.
Not yet.
Did you not let him?
Not yet.
Oh, he didn't ask.
Not yet, but it does look very nice, and it's quite the upgrade on the stuff that I have.
Oh. It's competition.
But it's a very nice bit of kit.
Well, we look forward to having a go. Callum's inviting us around at some point, and we're all going to have a go.
I'm sure Mum will love that.
Tell you what, just quickly, can you just give us your take on the action in Barcelona with your, you know, knowledgeable head? Because we keep getting messages from you about how this is going to be the weekend that Ferrari turn it on, and I don't think they found the on button yet.
Well, my money was most definitely on Ferrari dominating in Baku, and like you said, they definitely didn't find the on button wherever that was. But Barcelona, what really is there to say? It was kind of I was at Snetten over the weekend. I watched the first couple laps, and then jokingly said, "Well, that's the race result after the first corner." And lo and behold, I was right, more or less.
That's why you're an engineer.
Sort of standard Barcelona, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why you're an engineer, Dan. You can see it coming a mile off, which I fully appreciate. How about just coming forwards for Monaco? I don't know. I don't think we all like the race. I like the race. I like going to Monaco because I think it's quite the spectacle. I know, obviously, our dear Perry Hamilton always calls it a gimmick. Do you like the looks of Monaco? Do you enjoy it? Have you been before?
I've never been before to Monaco. I would love to go. I'm sure most other Formula One fans would love to go, mainly for the spectacle itself. Racing-wise, we all know it's never the best, but is at least very nice to watch the drivers sort of always on the limit and trying to take it up to the barrier as close as they can, and perhaps even sometimes a bit too close. But I guess how things are going to stack up, if we watch. Formula One posted a video, particularly on YouTube over the weekend, that had an overlay of Bottas and Vettel in qualifying. And all I can say is that in Sector 3, Bottas and Hamilton were absolutely mullering Ferrari. So my money would most definitely not be on Ferrari for Monaco, but rather Red Bull to have quite the charge, and for Mercedes to perhaps even dominate quite as much as they already have done.
I love it. I think that was a sort of a prediction. Is that a prediction? Can we nail that into?
We'll call that my one unofficial. No, we'll call that a proper prediction for the first pod.
Okay, perfect. We'll take it, my man. Dan, thank you so much. I'm going to ring you back in about however many minutes in terms of podcast space, so you can be on the other podcast and we'll have a proper chat. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, then. We're going to say goodbye properly, actually say goodbye, and we'll ring you in a bit. Okay?
Okay, brilliant. Nice one.
Okay, bye.
Cheers, bye.
Well, that worked really well, Callum.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm pretty sure on the same pedestal now as mum and dad of people that he answers immediately.
I know. I didn't know if he knew it was me either. It could have been anyone, but there we go. Thanks so much for Dan making some time and actually picking up the phone. And we will be back with him in EP242 because, to be honest, I want to get out some... If he doesn't know some juicy F1 gossip...
Oh, he does.
He does. It's just what we can get out of him, isn't it? That's the key bit. So, well, you know, hopefully he'll have a couple of beers between now and when we next ring him up. And I think that's probably unlikely. But there we go. Fingers crossed. Okay, I think we're done then. We all did our predictions, didn't we? So we've done that bit. Fantasy League, we haven't changed the team. It's almost going to be a season-long experiment to not change the team and see how it does.
I had a little look today, Michael, and I think you stand fourth as it is, your team.
I haven't even looked at it since Australia.
And the podcast team is, I think, sixth or so.
Wow.
If I remember.
Well, that's right. all hideous, really, that
well,
is.
There's about 20-something in the league, so you're quite high up there.
What?
So.
I see. It's just not football, is it? That's brilliant. We haven't even mentioned Snackwatch, mainly because we haven't had any Snackwatch and actually started eating it. I've just opened it to put my chewing gum in it. Rich, you bought us some cookies.
Yes. What was it? Double chocolate?
Yeah,
it's double chocolate. Yeah, I got them at lunchtime. I was like, shall I buy some snacks at lunch? And then I was like, podcast tonight, let's get some snacks in.
Oh, you're a top man, because I didn't leave the office. That was supposed to be my job. So we will give the verdict on those in the bonus Patreon podcast. That's not a tease, I don't know what is. But we are done for E243. I keep losing track of the podcast. Thank you so much. If you want to listen to more from us over about Spain and, of course, looking ahead to Monaco and all the other bits and bobs in F1, including Dutch Courage, they're stagnating, and flirting with Ferrari. For all that and a load of extra content, then you can check out our bonus Patreon podcast, EP243, all of that over at patreon.com/NRF1. We will also return with E244, our Monaco review, and another bonus Patreon edition to follow that, all shortly after round 6 of the 2019 Formula 1 Championship. We're already on to round 6 already. In the meantime, it is, of course, thanks to Future Radio. Thanks to Argent Towers for hosting it. We're on some nice AstroTurf. Thanks to Dan Springle for answering his phone. We do appreciate that. And, of course, thanks to Rich and Callum. Cheers, Rich.
No, thank you.
Callum.
Adios.
And to all you guys and girls out there for listening, we really appreciate it. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We'll see you after the roulette wheel. That is Monte Carlo. Until then, goodbye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary, while supplies last. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.